Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 710. I'm Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Send me back to the islands. I did not want to come back to all of this madness.
I bet. Out there in the Gulf of America.
Which apparently has been changed officially on like Apple Maps and Google Maps. Like it says Gulf of America now.
Yes. That's very dumb. But that did in fact happen. That's not the dumbest thing that I guess happened though. So
many dumb things happened.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It says Gulf of America on Google Maps. So whatever.
On the list of things that happened with all of his executive orders, that's probably the most minor one.
Yeah, it's just dumb. It's like it's inconsequential, really. Like,
yeah.
Because I guess, you can never really tell how some commentary is on the internet, but I didn't bother to look this one up, but they said Spain named it the Gulf of Mexico when they had come over. So, there's like a native name for it, which that makes sense. Like there's native names for lots of shit.
They switched one imperialist name for another.
To another one, yeah. So it's
America's a stupid name to begin with. Like I love how our country and continents are named after this random Italian quote unquote explorer who may have faked all of his voyages and not actually gone anywhere.
Oh.
Cool. So yeah, I was looking it up because I know Amerigo Vespucci, obviously is the person.
Yeah.
They're named after. I always thought he was a map maker. He was not a map maker, but he was like a legend for like this letter that circulated around like 1500 through all of Europe that everybody read and was like, oh my God, look at these amazing, amazing voyages he had. And like, apparently he didn't even write this letter. And like, people have like charted like the path that his voyage would have taken, and it like takes him like straight through the continent, and he says he sailed through these like places where there's actually land. Like it just doesn't hold up to factual whatever. So maybe it's kind of fitting that our country is named after this guy.
Yeah,
maybe that's really what we deserve.
I've always found it weird that like we're the United States of America and it's the North American and South American continents. But here in the U.S., we don't really celebrate Columbus Day anymore anyway, but that was kind of like the day that like previously, is there like an Amerigo Vespucci Day that I don't know about?
No.
Because like we celebrate Columbus, there was Columbus Day, so.
No.
So dumb. Yeah. And then, were you home for the Super Bowl, or were you still?
So, interestingly, no, I was still in transit back from St. Lucia, but they streamed it onto the plane.
Oh, fun.
So I got to watch it anyway. I kind of wish they hadn't. I probably better spent my time
doing anything else.
Yeah. Like, I don't care about the Eagles. I don't care about the Chiefs. Like they're not my teams, but that was not much of a football game.
No, it was terribly boring.
Like we'd been talking about the Eagles or not the Eagles, the Chiefs all year and how their line can't really block very well. And the weakness are at the tackles. And of course the Eagles are just sacking poor Mahomes over and over and over again. And he's like running for his life and being destroyed. I don't know.
Yeah, it's funny how like if your offensive line can't block and your quarterback is pressured immediately that your offense doesn't do well.
No. I think it was 40-6 at one point.
Yeah.
So they made a couple of scores at the end to make the score look like it may have been respectable, but it was not at any point a respectable football game.
Yeah, like if you're just like somebody that reads the box score, or, you know, historically, like you're just like, oh, like it was closer than it appears. Like it was not. yeah, because I think Mahomes ended up, like, his stat line wasn't great, but I think he ended up with 3 touchdowns, like 250 yards or something, which is like,
yeah,
that's a normal stat line, except I think they had 24 yards of offense in the first half.
Yeah.
So not a normal stat line.
Like, we were halfway through the third quarter and talking about like shutout. Yeah. It was just like not what you'd expect from the Chiefs.
No, it's like I'm not an Eagles fan. I don't really care about the Chiefs either, but it was just like a miserable game to watch being here in Philly and not liking the Eagles.
I mean, it was nice for Hurts and Saquon to win one. Like, they both kind of deserved it, but.
Sure. I just wish that the Eagles fans, like, wouldn't whine the entire time. Like, they're up 40-6, and they're still talking about how the refs are going to screw them over and take it away from them. It's like, that would be epic. If somebody comes back with 10 minutes left and they can score 35 points to beat you, that would be insane. But
it's like the biggest miscall of the game was Mahomes being punched in the face during a strip sack. Like,
yeah.
And you're talking about your team being screwed by the refs.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, I didn't buy into the narrative anyway that it was all fixed, but I think that if it was, they went completely the other way for this one.
It's one of those things, and I always feel about this about like conspiracy theories at large, like where people are like the government is fixing things, and like large groups of people are not capable of keeping secrets on that level. They're not capable of working together on that level.
Right.
People are too whiny and self-centered, and like if there was that kind of stuff, it would leak every time. There's no way it couldn't leak. It's like when they talk about like the deep state and that stuff. I'm like, the stuff can't exist. People are too awful for it to exist in a secrecy.
You're gonna say that the NFL is scripted like WWE is scripted, yet somehow organization that has 5,000 employees, like, it's never slipped out.
Yeah, right. Just like, and how the dumb stuff that some of these guys get caught with off the field, like the stupid crap that they do, and yeah, they're keeping this millions of dollars worth of secrets, and it's not, does not make any sense whatsoever.
Absolutely crazy.
Like, also the random stuff that happens on the field that you could never ever script in a million years, like the Odell Beckham one-handed catch, or like the weird stuff like that. Like, you can't. There's just no way.
That one, the guy that like caught the ball on his helmet when Eli threw it.
Yeah, David Tyree, who I hate forever and ever.
Like, it's just like so absurd. Like, how would you script that? Like,
there was the other one, the one where Edelman was rolling on the ground during the which one was it? Was it the Atlanta game, the Atlanta Super Bowl for the Patriots, where he literally just accidentally put his hand on the ground and the ball bounced up off of it, so it didn't hit the turf, and he caught it like rolling, like, sure, scripted, totally.
Yeah, yeah. Tom Brady has just such amazing accuracy that he can pin it off of somebody's hand to bounce up. Come on now.
No.
Well, football season's over, and
now though for free.
What was that?
You can play Madden. Oh, yeah.
Madden is out there. Madden is out there for free. I don't think I'm gonna play it, but. Jeff is poking at it, I believe.
I mean, I feel obligated to play it at some point, but it may be a little while. I got
to play. Just to give it a go.
Yeah.
It does seem like games are starting to come out, though. Like, in a couple of days, we'll have Avowed. And then I think shortly thereafter, Monster Hunter, somewhere in between there, the new Yakuza game, which I'm so far behind, I don't think I'll get to that one. But that one looks super fun with, like, pirate battles and another wacky shit. But yeah, games are coming. And Sony had like an event to showcase, and they announced a ton of games. In fact, most of them, I believe, are multi-platform. So
yeah,
there were a couple, like the Days Gone remaster, and it's weird that they didn't show something like a Ghost of Yotai or.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was expecting, because that game's coming out this year.
Yeah, supposedly this year. There were rumors that God of War was going to be there, that a Wolverine was going to be there. None of that stuff showed. It was just a lot of third party stuff that looks fun. A lot of good stuff in there. One of the ones, I think you kind of highlighted it, Mind's Eye.
Yeah.
Which is,
go ahead.
It's the studio that Leslie Benzie created after he left Rockstar. And, I know we've talked about Leslie Benzie before. He was the guy, this all the way back when Fozzie was with us. He was the Benz, the guy that they bring in to fix the games.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I was watching the trailer. It looked kind of like Cyberpunk GTA was what I was thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the driving sequences and stuff definitely like had a GTA vibe to it. But then like you have these special powers and, it looked pretty cool. We'll see, but,
I always feel like you see these games on Sony's, showcases that look really cool end up not being really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, that's one I kind of like, I'll wait for reviews. Like you hope it, it has his pedigree with it. Maybe he kind of knows what's fun. So we'll see how that turns out. But there were a bunch of other games they pulled in there. I mentioned the Days Gone remaster. Which is weird because the guy from the studio that did Days Gone for years now has been saying that Sony kind of like fucked them over and fucked the game over. But it seems like it's getting a second chance here with this remaster. It's going to have a $10 upgrade if you already own it. So you can get it on PS5. So I might take a look at that for 10 bucks. Might as well. And the rest of the stuff was all third party stuff. Sonic Racing, a new Sonic Racing game. I wish Earl were here because they showed WWE 2K25. He plays the WWE games. I got a vibe from that trailer that they showed that very much like what you described. NBA 2K over the last few years, it's having like this open world type thing where you're wandering around in like a city type and doing like missions and stuff, but they're doing it as a wrestler. So I kind of wanted to get Earl's take on that.
I mean, I think it's a really cool way of doing sports games, because sports games have always been so samey.
Mm-hmm.
Where like you kind of like hop in and you play through your franchise or whatever, you just play the games, and like being able to like be the player and like be in a world doing stuff, and then also have the games as part of that experience. It's just cool.
And I mean, Madden has tried a couple different things. Like they had the narrative storyline, and sometimes that stuff works, sometimes it doesn't. I do think the way
Madden NBA half asses it though. Yeah.
I think EA half asses it across the board.
Well,
talk about NHL a little bit later, but their be a pro mode one, it feels like it's a decade old now. Like, it does not feel like they've updated at all. And where these other sports games and stuff have, you know, they have voiced cutscenes and like where, you know, where your agent is talking with you or your coach is talking with you, this is all still just text. And like, you're just choosing from like text options to get like a bonus or a negative, yeah, depending upon how you choose. It's so weird. And so much loading that it's like, this doesn't feel great. They showed Borderlands 4 like very briefly, but it looked a little more realistic than previous Borderlands. So I'm not sure I like that.
Like, and they're going away from the, like, the cartoony art style
into, yeah, like the shell honestly, I don't know if realistic is, but it looks like they took away the cell shading.
Oh, that's a bad choice.
Yeah, and
that
maybe
was
it's just
the way that made the trailer it stand out.
Right, like it's very distinct. It's like, and it didn't look kind of like drawn. And maybe it was just like, maybe it's just a bad trailer. Because it looked like it was all indoors. So maybe, yeah, it's just too dark and couldn't get a good view on things. But yeah, that one seemed a little weird. What else we got here?
Shinobi,
Art of Vengeance. They kicked off with that one. That was weird. They kicked off with a bunch of Sega stuff, actually. And Shinobi looks like a 2D action game, which is what Shinobi is, right? It's an arcade game, but interested to see how that turns out. See what the price on that is too.
I missed this trailer, Tides of Annihilation.
Yeah, so not really sure. But it looks cool. Like, visually, it looks really neat. I couldn't get a feel on if it's a Souls game or, like, a DMC-type game. More action-oriented as opposed to, like, the block parry stuff of Souls. It's definitely, like, a melee combat action game, though.
Yeah, it's kind of the point now where, like, every time they say action game to me, I'm like, oh, and I pause every time. Because I'm like, all right, is it that Soulsborne, Souls-like type game, or is it a game I might like?
Right. Like, is it actually action, or is it like this new, like, nothing against people that like, you know, the Souls stuff, but they you need to be into that.
Yes,
those aren't games you can just pick up.
They need a different descriptor. Like, they need to start with, like, it's a Souls-like, which is fine. I have no problem calling it that. If it's a Souls-like, that's fine. Distinguish it from, like, the action RPGs that that we've been playing for ages that are not like that.
Yeah. Like, just let us know up front that it's this very meticulous combat, and then we can sidestep that. So, yeah, not sure what... was it Tides of Annihilation? Yeah, Tides of Annihilation. Not sure what type of action game it is. We'll see. Metal Eden. I don't know if you saw the trailer for that one. That one looked pretty neat. Titanfall-ish movement vibes. Like, there's no Titans, but the, like, wall running and, like, that's, Apex probably more is but it looks like it's a single player experience, so that could be fun. You know, a cool movement first person shooter with cool guns, that could be a good time. They showed Onimusha 2 again, and then a new Onimusha Way of the Sword, which I guess is 4. They showed that. Split Fiction. I think that, like, we heard about that at the Game Awards. That's the
Earl's favorite game.
is it his favorite game? He loves that guy.
He seems super interested. Every time I hear that name, Earl game.
Split Fiction looks really cool. Like, it looks like there's two writers and they've somehow been trapped in their stories that they've written. And one is a fantasy writer and one's a sci-fi writer. And you have to play it co-op. There is no, it's that studio that does these, like, their mandatory co-op games. You need to play with a partner. So that's, finding someone to play a game and be competent at it, that is the issue with those. I think Jeff tried to play the last one with his girlfriend wife, and that didn't go well.
I missed that Borderlands 4 actually got a release date.
Oh, really?
September 23rd.
Okay.
So
there were a bunch of things that they got. Like, I think Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater got a release date of either the 28th or 29th of August.
28th of August, yep.
Yeah. Same for Shinobi. That's right around there. So my birthday packed with games again. I'm cool with that. Yeah. So it was a decent enough show. It just, I think Earl said this, and hopefully it looks like he may be getting on shortly, but it was a weird structure to it. It was just like trailer after trailer after trailer. And then it just ended.
Yeah. And then it just ended. Like, it went to a black screen. I, like, wait, did it the show just end? Like, I was so confused. Like, did my stream stop?
There was no, and one more thing. Like, it was just like, it's over now.
Well, normal. Okay. I'm so used to there being like a post show. Like, there's so often like something else that, like, all right, something that focuses on this upcoming release that we're going to show more in depth now. But there was nothing. Literally, it just went to nothing.
And so it was just like, we're going to black.
And we're done. It's like the end of The Sopranos.
I got a real, like, I got vibes of Xbox in the middle of their, I mean, they've been in kind of like a drought, but games are finally starting to kind of come out for them as a publisher, games that they've developed. But I was getting vibes of, like, you know, back in the Xbox One days where there weren't a lot of, like, Xbox games that were coming out, but the Xbox showcases just were, like, packed with third-party stuff.
Yeah.
That they showed over and over again, but not a lot of Sony's own stuff here.
Yeah. Which I think maybe, like, where Sony is right now. They just don't have a lot of stuff coming out.
Yeah. I mean, they've announced stuff. It's just, you kind of, we don't know when that stuff's coming. I do hope Ghost of Yotai comes out this year, because otherwise, it's looking a little sparse on the PlayStation side.
My PlayStation that I never turn on.
Yeah.
Poor PlayStation. Be friends again.
Like, I mean, that's right. I want Ghost of Yotai to come out, so I have a reason to put it on. But
the last few, like, Sony games that I've gotten, I haven't been thrilled with. They just feel so samey and old, and they're lacking in such respects. Like, I don't, it's hard to get excited for
the game. Did you finish the second Horizon game and the second God of War game?
The second Horizon game, yes. I really like that. Second God of War game, I did not. I just, it didn't feel significantly different from the last one, and, like, I get less and less interested in the characters. It's just hard to force myself to go on. We're playing the same gameplay over and over and over again. It's just, I don't know.
No, I'm with you on that.
Seeing all this cool stuff happen in the cutscenes and not being able to participate, that's another thing that drives me a little nuts about some of their games. Spider-Man 2, really bad about that.
Spider-Man 2 was bad because, like, we're gonna show you, like, the cool big bosses and stuff, but, like, when you actually fight them, it's not going to be that. It's going to be different in a way. God of War is weird because in the original games, you would fight like big giant monsters. Yes, yeah, sometimes they were a little bit quick timey with how you handled like finishing off a piece of them, but
yeah,
you did fight like big stuff, and it wasn't just in cutscenes. But I didn't feel that with the first Nordic God of War, and I didn't make it. I made it maybe to the first town area.
And then
the second one before I don't know, other things came out and I moved off of it. So
yeah, it's kind of like it. Do I want to spend my time playing this game that I feel like I've played before?
Yeah.
Or do I want to play something new and make those decisions a lot, especially now that like I have less time to play games. Like if I'm going to play something, it's got to really be worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Like to give me this game that feels exactly like a game I've already played really makes it hard for me to force myself onward.
Yeah, because there's so many other experiences that we can be, you know, going through.
And all I'm doing by playing through this one is costing myself those experiences. It just doesn't make sense.
Yep. And I mean, both of us, I think, are kind of, I think Earl as well and Jeff, all of us have PlayStations, but it's not our primary console. It's
right.
Walt mentioned this in our chat, like that he thinks it's funny. Like, I just think, you know, we don't really approach things from a, you know, this, we have a PlayStation because we want to play PlayStation games when they're good.
Yeah. Right.
But my collection, my digital library is on my Xbox. Like, so that's where I get most of my games at. So I already have most of them there. So I don't know. I've never really thought of it that way. It was like, I think we play on everything. Like,
right.
PC,
I have all these systems Nintendo, so I can play any great game where it is. I just want to play great games.
Yeah.
Now, if I have a choice where I can play them, I do have a favorite, but you know, I would still play a game no matter where it ended up if it was great.
Yeah. All right. Well, as we still wait for Earl here, have you gotten a chance since you got back to play anything? I know you have, but
yes. So I played Civilization VII,
mm-hmm.
Or as I like to call it, Civ 7 Early Access.
Okay, that's not great.
So I have to say that, noting this, that Civilization V and Civilization VI both had really, really crappy launches.
Mm-hmm.
Those games were missing features that really should have been there, and those features were not added until the first expansion for each one of those games.
Okay.
This Civ 7 does not have that problem. The game is awesome. The gameplay fundamentals are great. The problem that it has is that it needed maybe 4 more months in the oven. Like, it needed some more time because there are some like really basic polishing things that are wrong with it.
Mm.
Like, the UI wasn't finished. So like, it's hard to figure out what's going on the screen. Now, if you know all the gameplay mechanics, and as you play more, you learn them, you're able to like look and see, you know, this is happening here, and this is happening here. But if you don't know, it's really hard to find what's going on. Like, you'll do something and a message will pop up and go really fast across the top of the screen and then disappear. And you're like, what was that? I have no idea what that message was. I don't know any of those words. What are you talking about? And it'll be for something that wasn't covered in any of the tutorial or anything. You're just kind of left sitting there like, well, I hope that was a good thing that just happened, and move on. I noticed some weird graphic stuff. Like a unit would have a little marker on it, and when the unit moved, the marker would still be sitting in the hex that it was in before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, little stuff like that. You know, that they would have polished out if the game had been developed for a little bit longer. So I kind of feel like they think too much of Civilization VII as a franchise to like launch the game into early access. But these days, that's how most strategy games get launched.
Right.
But I don't, and maybe people wouldn't pay $70 for something that they thought was early access. But that's what it is. Like, it's literally just polishing out the things at the end. Because there are some really cool things about the game. So basically, when you launch Civ, you choose a leader.
Right.
And you get to choose your starting civilization. And there's like three different ages. So as you play with your civilization, you advance into the next age. And based on the things that you've done during the age you're currently in, you can choose another civilization. So my first playthrough, I chose Napoleon. I know you're shocked and surprised.
Absolutely shocking.
And I decided to play as the Roman Empire. And I'm, you know, conquering the guys around me. And I'm starting to build siege engines so that I can take over their cities. As soon as I build the third one, I get a pop-up that says, you have unlocked the Mongols to play in the next age. And that's kind of how it works. The things that you do in that age will unlock your choices for when the next age starts, which is kind of cool. Like, it means that your civilization is being built upon by another civilization with like similar values or whatever.
Okay, so you do move on from, so like you were playing as the Roman Empire, but then like do you have to play as the Mongols, or can you continue on as the Romans, or
no, you have to choose another civilization. The Romans are over. A bunch of cool, really cool things happen too, like all of the I don't want to call them the little city states, like the non-players.
Right.
When you switch ages, they all decay and disappear, and then you get a new set with in different places with new goals and new stuff for the next age. So it kind of like refreshes all that kind of stuff. It looks really cool when it happens. One of the other things I think is really cool is each civilization, as opposed to past games, where every, like, a swordsman from every civilization looked like a swordsman.
Right.
Every civilization has been meticulously designed. So, like, if I'm sending out a group of Roman soldiers, they all look Roman. Like, they all have, like, even though I have, like, you know, four, maybe my army's made up of four warriors, it looks like a legion. Like, they're all, like, dressed up in, like, Roman stuff. And like, right, when you run into like the Maya or the Inca or whoever it happens to be that you're fighting, they all look the part, which is super cool. That all the units seem unique to each civilization.
Not just like a colored guy on a horse or colored guy with a sword. That's cool.
They have, so there's leaders in the game now. It used to be you could take like units and then combine them into an army. Now it's you have a leader unit, and this leader unit can lead an army that's made up of units. And like he kind of like packs them all together so they all move at the same time. And it's really cool to see like the army marching across the map. It really gives like a whole like your legion is moving because you can see all these troops. And like if there's this, like a ballista in your group, like you can see the ballista packed up at the back. And then if you meet an enemy army, you can decide to unpack, and then your army like splits out into a line of battle. It looks really, really cool. And then as your leader gets experience when his like troops fight in battle, you can unlock abilities so like they can unpack and then immediately attack, or like the units that are near him when they attack heal a certain amount or whatever it happens to be. Like the leader upgrades over time.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really, really fun. The other cool thing about the army type consolidation is like now you can have battles over like mountain passes where you like have one unit holding up an entire army. I will admit I was the entire army being held up in the mountain pass. I did get through eventually, but it cost me a lot of troops. But you can have that whole like Leonidas at Thermopylae type deal where he's like blocking the path against the much larger force.
So, like, geological structures and formations can cause impact on you as the player. That's neat, though, because, like, then you can defend based on, like, how your map is set up. And
yeah. The actual, like, combat element is as good in a Civilization game as I have ever seen it.
Mm-hmm.
So I am really liking what I have played so far. I will assuredly like it several months from now when they've added all the like quality of life stuff that they're talking about adding in. Because, like, it's the fundamentals are there. It is really, really good.
Good. Yeah, because, like, it came out and, like, you know, it wasn't getting bad reviews. It just got, like, kind of lower than decent. I think I was expecting.
There were the one from Eurogamer was, like, scathing. Like, this game is awful. It's streamlined too much. It's bad. It's unpolished. Most of them were, like, I think it has, like, an 8.2 on Metacritic or something. It's not.
Yeah, that's decent.
Yeah.
Well, I will likely, like, I eventually will play Civ. Likely won't be until, like, most of their expansions are out, though.
Yeah, I completely understand that. Although I will say again that, like, it, unlike the last couple of Civ games, it doesn't need the expansions. Good, it plays well.
So, like, it's like you know, with 5 and 6, you specifically called out that, you know, it was missing features until those expansions started coming out.
Yeah.
You don't feel that way with this, but
no, not at all. It's just it's feature complete. It's just, like, the polish is not complete.
And then those expansions will just add more content to it, so it'll be, like, super.
Yeah, you get more civilizations, more scenarios.
Yeah. That's cool.
Gameplay mechanics that were absent. Like, it's got all the culture stuff, it's got the religious, like, that stuff's all there.
Well, I know you haven't been back much, but you get to play anything besides Civ?
Let's see, I did try a couple things. The new Orcs Must Die game.
Okay.
Did I talk about this last time? I can't remember.
I know you've played Orcs Must Die, I believe all of them at this point.
Right. So this is Orcs Must Die Death Trap.
Okay.
So it's the same as the other ones, like, same premise. You're building stuff to stop a pile of orcs who are, like, the tower defense elements. You're, like, funneling orcs as little things that kill them. That's all great. One of the things, this time it really focuses on, like, getting through levels to get skulls so you can get upgrades. The levels are, like, there's 5 waves. And then at the end of the 5th wave, you can risk all of your skulls to go through another set of 5 waves and get, like, super extra bonuses. Like, way more skulls than you could get by just playing through 5. So that sounds cool. Trouble is, the first time I tried it, the game crashed in the middle of the first wave. So I lost all of my progress from that first 5 and got nothing. So
that, I can see that, where that's frustrating.
I have not played it since then. So I mean, it plays exactly like the Orcs Must Die game I was playing, and it wasn't even that long ago, like 4 or 5 months ago. Exact same gameplay, like, new maps and all that. But yeah, that was demoralizing. I was like, okay, well, new games are coming out. I guess we're moving on from this one.
Fair enough.
Is the new Orcs Must Die with 4-player co-op?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, that's good to hear, because that is going to be my next game with friends. So, yay!
I mean, I enjoyed it. Like, I love those games, but yeah, it crashed. Yeah. And yeah. I was sad.
To be fair, I think our history is we have very janky games. We did Outriders, which is extremely janky, fun game. We did The Ascent, very janky, fun game. We're doing Suicide Squad, Kills of Justice League. Actually, not a janky game, it has its other problems. It's usually the game, and Borderlands, which actually is very janky. Also, just very dated humor. And who?
Hello, Earl.
Hi, how are we? He says,
how are you?
I'm great. I am good. I am here. I'm relaxed. I'm chilling. Like a villain, you know how it go.
We do. How much did you have to drink, Earl?
The usual amount, I think.
The usual amount.
6.5, something like that.
Okay.
And a half is because I went to a brewery after trivia, and there was a sour that was like blueberry. It described itself as like blueberry raspberry, kind of like the shaved ice syrup.
Yeah.
And it was a sour, and I'm like, I don't think I want a full thing of this. So I got like a 5-ounce pour of that, and then I got an actual beer on the side with it so that I wouldn't have that as the only thing. So
I mean, that is how I drink at breweries now. Like, I don't normally get full beers anymore. I almost always do 5-ounce pours, because then you can have like...
I have me a fright. But yeah. I was like, I'm not going to do a flight because I want to get back in time for the podcast, which clearly worked out perfectly well.
It did. That's perfect. We just started about 5 minutes ago. You have no idea.
But yeah, I was at the bar. I was like trying to wave down the bartender for another drink. I'm like, you know what? Yeah, we just drink some water and just go home and do this thing. I'm already like an hour late, so might as well, be somewhat productive.
Tony, anything else besides Orcs Must Die, Death Trap?
I did give Eternal Strands hour and a half, 2 hours of my time.
New game on Game Pass.
Yeah, it looks super cool. It was not what I was expecting. So you're like this, I don't type mage type person. And I thought it was like an open world game where you could go out and hunt these giant creatures, which is what it looked like from the trailer. It's really super mission based, where you go on missions and like do these very specific things. The combat I found to be pretty janky. I can't like there's, they do the tutorial stuff at the beginning, and at some point they teach you how to block. I don't think the blocking actually works. Like, I kept blocking and getting hit. Like, every time I would block, I would get hit. To the point where I waited until there were no enemies on the screen, and I tried to block just to make sure that I was hitting the right button and my character gets in the block stance. I'm like, oh, I am actually blocking. It just doesn't work. Which is kind of annoying, because there are a lot of enemies that you would have to block to stop them from hitting you. And since the blocking doesn't work, you can't stop them. The magic is kind of cool, though. Like, there's two initial spells that they give you. One of them allows you to like freeze stuff, and you can like pin the enemies in place, so you can like start whacking them. Like, you can freeze their leg, and then they have to get their leg untrapped before they can move, which is kind of cool. Or you could like wall them off from you with the ice, or wall them off from each other, or like use it to ice. Like, there were a lot of cool things you could do with the actual ice magic. And the other spell lets you like pick up things and throw them. So like you could pick up a rock and throw it at an enemy, or you could pick up an enemy and throw them at the rock. Either way. Or throw the enemies at each other, or throw them off a cliff, or whatever it happens to be. I mean, it seems kind of cool for what it is. I just, the fact some of the mechanics don't seem to actually work is a big strike against it.
Yeah. So like I got Monster Hunter vibes from it, like just looking at it. Like
that's kind of what I thought it was going to be. It is not that. Like maybe it gets to that point eventually, but it doesn't seem to, or if it does, like again, it takes a while to get there. Like it doesn't have that open world where you can walk around and like track the monster and that kind of stuff, which is kind of what I was expecting. It was not that.
Got it. Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I was like, I could play this, but like, new Monster Hunter games coming out. So if I'm going to play that, like, do I really want to play two Monster Hunter games? Like, so I kind of avoided it, but hearing it, it's a little bit different. Sounds,
yeah,
sounds neat, but the jankiness, not great.
Yeah.
I played a few things. Mentioned NHL 25 earlier, and I won't spend too much time on it, but you know, all of these games now have like achievements tied to like playing a little bit online, and so it's like, I think one of the achievements for this was play 5 hockey ultimate team matches. I was like, I can do that. Those matches are for 3-minute periods, so it's like an hour tops to play. And I won my first game. I was like, oh, this is neat. Like, and it felt like a real hockey game too. Like,
oh,
like we were both, you know, playing hockey. And then it paired me in with people. One, their teams, because it's hockey ultimate team, so you have to build your team. And I was playing against teams that are like ranked 89, 90, like their overalls. And
so you're like, why do you have 4 Wayne Gretzky?
Right. And it's like, why? On what earth would you pit a team that has a base value of like 73 against this dude who has an 89 and has like clearly spent some time or money to put together a team? And then the actual online games for those next 4 matches were just miserable experiences.
No,
because it's been a problem since the PlayStation 2 days when you could just then get online with, you know, Madden, NHL, FIFA. There's exploits in all of those games that's all people do. It's like, so I want to play a hockey game or a football game or a soccer game, and these people are just like, I just want to win. And so I know if I go to this mark on the, you know, on the rink, and I do a slap shot, it's going to score every single time. And it's like, okay, well, I can stop you half the time, but the other half the time you're going to score. And like being down 11-0, it's not a fun experience. So yeah, nothing has changed in playing those games online. It's still a miserable experience. The core gameplay, though, is they've actually changed it. I did not play last year's game, 24, but it is improved a little bit over 23. They've added some new control features. The physics in the game seem a little more realistic. I'm not sure I like that, and I'm sure that I could probably go into the settings and make it a little more arcadey. But now, like, your guys do kind of, like, you know, when you're trying to line up a hit, like, you have to kind of take into consideration the momentum of your skater, the angles, where before, if like you were close and you're trying to hit somebody, like, yeah, you're going to hit them. And it's going to, like, there's going to be a cool animation, but now it's like, I'm missing a lot of times. Like, I'm just off by just a little bit. So my guy's just like skating into the boards, which at that point then puts you at a disadvantage because one of your players has now smacked himself into the boards, and you've just created an odd man rush the other way because you missed a hit, which is something that happens in hockey. Like, if you miss a hit and like they're able to slip by, it's just like that's not how it's played ever in this series. You know, going all the way back to the Genesis. Just, it's a weird change that I'm not sure I like, even though it does make it more realistic. And we, you know, briefly talked about the kind of RPG aspects of it, and that stuff is so dated, though. The poor, like, star, teammate kind of options that you choose dialogue-wise with your agent or your coach or the GM, which gives you bonuses or debuffs for the next game. And it's like, it's all terribly done. I wish I could skip all that in the be a player mode and just actually play the games. Career.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like, I don't want any of this. Like, and maybe they cut down on that stuff as you progress in your career, but I generally only play one season. Like, I'm not going to do like an, there's an achievement in, and it's been in these games now for a decade, for beating Wayne Gretzky's point total, which is like 2,100 points or something like that.
Oh God.
Like,
I'm not gonna get that.
No, like, I mean, Gretzky did it over 20 years, and I think four of those seasons, he had 150 plus points. Like, the NHL today, you're not scoring that many points in a game, in a season. So, like, to get to there, it would have to be the only game I played, and I'm not. Like, I just want to play a little bit of hockey. Like, maybe a season, win the Stanley Cup once. Maybe do like a custom league with a shortened season, in franchise mode, and win the cup there, and then move on. Like, I'm not investing all my time and money into playing this game. So, seems like a decent NHL game, though.
I kind of like, I listened to this. I've been playing the my career for NBA 2K a lot, and one of the stuff that happens in that feels good and feels like realistic. Like, for instance, like, you have access to like your social media feed as you're like walking around, and like occasionally you'll get in like a trash talking like exchange, like another NBA player will say something about you before one of your games, and like it'll unlock a quest where you can like either like try to shut him down, or like you get a quest to like outscore him by 10 points in the game that's coming up. Like, that stuff is cool. That's fun. And you see the interaction. Or like, a player will challenge you and you're like, all right, fine, let's swap jerseys after the game. You're like, I'll only do it if you like do this thing. And that thing is like, get 20 assists or like outscore them or whatever it happens to be.
That seems cool.
Like, interactive. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there do end up being quests. It's like, oh, like, you know, can you score a point in the next game, or do you want to overpromise and score 3 points? But like, the bonus is like, you know, plus 75 to management likability, or plus 75 to brand, to your brand. And it's like, I don't really know what that shit does. And that's kind of a bad payoff.
The other thing is, like, in the NBA game, you'll get like a dialogue exchange. Like, you'll actually talk to the player and they'll be like, fully voiced by the actual player. Like, they've all obviously put a lot of time and effort into like making this look cool.
Yeah, EA seems great. EA is not putting that effort in, and I get it. NHL is like, hockey in general is the, you know, the least of the four major sports. But yeah, they're not putting any effort into that end. I almost wish they would cut that shit out. Just.
There's this exchange my player had with Austin Reeves, who's a guard for the Lakers, who like hit a game-winning shot. I can't remember if it was last year or 2 years ago, and like shouted out, "I'm him," and that's where like the whole "I'm him" thing came from. And so you're like, you're getting into an argument with him, and like he challenges you, and you're like, "All right, I decide, okay, I'm gonna try to outscore you by 5 points in this pickup game." And he's like, "Oh, so you think you're him, do you?" Just like, and it's actually Austin Reeves voicing the exchange. It's hilarious to me.
That's neat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, EA is not putting that level of detail in.
No, absolutely not.
Be interested to hear. Jeff's been playing a little bit of Madden, so when he gets back next week, to hear what he has to say about that. I don't think he touches like the career mode though, but. We'll see. I also played a little bit of Path of Exile 2. I finally did get to play some of it. I haven't played a ton of it. It feels like Path of Exile or Diablo, if that is something that is more, you know, more your reference. It's not bad. It's very good. I think visually it looks great. Some of the powers that I'm getting as, I think I'm doing like a ranger. So it's, you know, it's a bow is the primary weapon and skills set around that. And it doesn't feel that much different than, you know, when I play a Demon Hunter or something akin to that in Diablo. Like, to be fair, I have not played all the way through the first act, so I'm about halfway through it. It's good. It is a good one of those. And I do think that the skill tree, which, looking at it, like, if you were to pull all the way out to the back, like, it's a ridiculous skill tree. There's so much stuff that can be filled in on it. But I think they have made it more approachable this time out, to fill in the nodes. Like, you know that as a ranger, you want dexterity based. So, you know, it very clearly is like, you know, here you can upgrade your stats +5 in this, and you can either do it to dexterity or another one. Which do you want to choose? So some of that stuff makes more sense than First Path of Exile. I have done a couple mini bosses. I have not been I've not been overwhelmed. I've not died yet. I also haven't gotten to the first major boss, the act boss. So I don't know if that's where Jeff was like, this game's like super hard and like super, super interesting mechanically. Like, right now, where I'm at, again, still very early in the game, it just feels like one of those games. I don't know. But thank you, Sean, for getting me that code. And I am going to play it. I am playing more and more of it all the time. Just not like, I've not been blown away by what I've played of it so far. And finally, for me, I finished Starfield.
Ooh, yay!
And it's DLC, but I finished Starfield, the main game. And I really like Starfield. Yeah. I think I did, but when I played it originally, I just hadn't finished it. I had five or six main missions still to go. And finally, to jump back in, I did all the side quests, all the faction quests this time out. I did the Shattered Space DLC, which is very good. That's also where the new kind of moon buggy has been added to the game. You don't need to have the DLC for that. It was added in an update, but the only place that moon buggy is actually drivable is the DLC planet.
The other ones are too
terrain. Rocky. Yeah, there's too much terrain. Like, there's no like direct paths around stuff. So, like, I mean, there's funny things that can happen. Like, if you're on like Earth's moon, for instance, it's not very, it's not like super rocky. But there's like dips and stuff. You can hit like a ramp. You go up like a crest in kind of like a hill, and if you hit the boost, you can basically fly across the map, which is funny. You have no control up there. Like, you can't steer the car. Like, you're just flying. Your car is flying with a rocket boost against it, but. And on other planets, that's kind of annoying because you'll land on a rock up. Like, you can't flip it, but you will, like, land in awkward positions. It kind of renders the car useless. But it's fun enough. Overall, the game's really good, though. And I think the ending is cool. You get a really cool Starborn ship at the end. So I guess when you... Spoilers for Starfield, the end of it, basically, it's a time loop, so you jump back to the beginning of the game. You lose all of your items and ships and all that, but you do get, like, a cool Starborn ship. So that comes with it. It's neat.
Have you tried to start playing through the quests after you do that?
So I started... You know, it boots you back, and it's like,
yep,
you're on your ship, and it's like you get the quest marker. Go to, you don't have to like do the mining piece again, where Barrett comes and visit you. It's just like, yep, go to New Atlantis. So I did that, and when you land, they're like, "Holy crap, that's a cool ship." Well, when you get there, actually, because anytime you go into New Atlantis space, they are, they scan your ship, and they're like, hold there, please hold there. We're gonna try and scan your ship, maybe. We're not sure. And I'm like, I know it's like a, you know, you clearly have to realize that you're in like a weird looking ship. You don't realize you're in the same ship that the Starborn have been chasing you in until you land, though. And then it's like, what I got. That's why everybody's like, what the hell is this thing? The ship guy, when you get out the ship at New Atlantis, is like, that is cool. And then you go into the lodge and you have to kind of explain what's happened. And they're all like, some of them are choose to believe you, some don't. It's neat. I haven't started any of the new quests. It looks like you can skip most of the main story quests second time around. You just, I guess there's like, you have to help every once in a while, but I shut it off at that point.
If you start doing the quests that you've already done, you'll get like dialogue options that are now like, because your character knows what the person's going to say.
Right.
Like, you get like weird stuff where you're like telling the person what they're about to say, or like,
that is cool.
Because you have like knowledge of like where this is going and what's actually going on. It's just, they work that into the dialogue. It's pretty cool.
That is neat. Maybe I'll give a couple quests.
You should just try like replaying quests you've already played through, because it is pretty funny.
I really like Starfield. It might be my favorite Bethesda game, just because I really like, you know, the setting, and I think visually it looks really neat. There are issues with that game, though, man. Like, the loading is atrocious. It's rough. Yeah, like, and if you're on a bigger planet.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you're on a bigger planet, like, there are points when you will hit the end of a map and it's like, hey, I know that, like, you can see further there. It doesn't say that, but it's like, if you want to continue exploring, please pick a different place on the planet. Like, wait, you didn't. It's a big square map, isn't it? That's what it is. It's a big square map, and I've hit the edge of the map now.
Yep.
And you want me to load in a different area.
It's just weird to have those sorts of issues, because now if you go back and you play like Skyrim or like Fallout 4, and you're like, oh, it saves me from all the loading. It's so much better now to go back and play those games. And like,
yeah,
Starfield has all these issues with it. Even though it's made way after those games on modern systems.
And you'll go, like, it's weird, because like there are loading, there's loading, like, sometimes, like, when you get to the first big town in Skyrim, like, you go into the Jarl's, you know, mansion or whatever is his house, like, it'll load into that, but generally everything else is kind of, you kind of like walking around, and there's not a whole lot of loading.
And now those games are like fully optimized, so now when it loads super quick.
Super quick, and like the loading in Starfield is long, like, it's not instant. And it loads for everything. Anytime you go into a building that might have like closed doors or multiple floors, you have to load into it, because it's loading that piece of the map. If you want to take off into space, it loads into space. And then if you need to travel in space, it needs to load into the next star system. There's so much loading, and it's like, this is unfortunate, because I get No Man's Sky, not the same type of game, and it doesn't have the same, you know, type of detail that that Starfield is doing either. Because each item in Starfield is like individually rendered, and you moving something, the game needs to remember that, like, you moved it. So if I, you know, take a cup from the lodge and I drop it outside the lodge in the Mass District, it stays there. Like, the game knows that it's always there. So it's using memory in like weird ways to to create a more immersive experience, but in doing so, it also creates like really, really long load times, which kind of suck.
Yeah, so some of those, maybe they overdid it. Like, maybe you do it for certain areas, but not everywhere.
Yeah, because like the random planet that you go to and you find a like abandoned mine or whatever, you don't need to, like, maybe I come back there, but I'm not going to remember that I moved a cup or a tablet. So like you could just put everything back where it was. You don't need to use memory in that way. It's weird choices. It's just the way Bethesda makes games. And I like their games, so I really like Starfield. I hope that we get another expansion out of it. The actual expansion as well, Shattered Space, really neat. It's about 7-8 hours. Some cool missions. It is all part of that House Varun, which you never come across them in the game.
They talk about it a lot, but it doesn't really get any.
Yeah, you do interact with them in I think it's the UC Vanguard. That arc, you will deal with them there, but House Varun is like some crazy religious cult, and it's neat. Like there's some neat stuff going on. They build a cool town. It has a cool storyline to it, and I guess you can, the way that piece ends, you can basically have House Varun declare war on all the other factions. I did not do that. I just wanted to keep peace and finish the game, but
yeah.
You can. I don't know how that plays out, but you can choose that. Neat stuff. I hope we get another expansion. And I'm honestly fully, Avowed is going to be another one of those games. I know it's by Obsidian, but I'm kind of on board. Like I want more of that right now, so I'm excited for Avowed next week.
Woohoo.
Earl, you have some notes for yourself here. What is the Dark Queen of Morholm?
The Dark Queen of Morholm. So both of these games are very much social media driven. Somebody or people mentioned it on Blue Sky. It is on itch.io.
Okay.
So The Dark Queen is a pay-what-you-want game. Give them $2 and then $5, download it for free.
Yeah.
And this is, I think they describe it as a quote-unquote anti-game. So the part of this is you are playing the final boss in a video game. The big finale. So you're that character, and like a noble knight or warrior comes into your quarters to defeat you, and you crush them. Ooh. And they disappear, and then they come back, and they're ready to go again, and you crush them. But this time, they knew how to dodge your first attack. So they come back again, and they dodge your first attack, they dodge your second attack, so you get new attacks, and then you crush them. And now they upgraded, they got a new sword, then they get a bow and arrow. And eventually, they know how to dodge all of your attacks, and you're just on your back foot. It is a very simple, again, anti-game, very simple kind of narrative-driven game. Narrative-driven, like, you do stuff. Like, you are the Dark Queen. You have 3 attacks, and this knight comes in, and you talk to them, you participate, and stuff like that. You can also not attack, and that also triggers different stuff. But the part of it is being this final boss and seeing the world from their eyes. It is a very interesting, I don't want to spoil it. It's a very interesting story, and kind of realizing that final bosses are people, and also in some ways very trapped people, because they have their dominion and their domain, and they're basically just hanging around all day, weeks, months, years, waiting for somebody to come and try to challenge them. And if that's not happening, or if it does happen and you defeat them, what's next? I think it's worth checking out. There's multiple endings. It is a very fascinating game.
So it is like the main objective here to ultimately be beaten by your character. Like you are the Dark Queen, but
this is why I don't want to spoil it because there are multiple endings.
Got it.
And like ultimately, I think it's one of those games where choice matters. Because like yes, I think half of the endings or more, you will be defeated because you are the final boss. And you are the antagonist in their story. But of course, from our perspective, you are the protagonist of this game. But as the final boss, the whole arc of the hero is that you ultimately are defeated. But there, like I said, there are ways. You can choose not to engage in combat. And that is something else. It's very simple, but also very quick. 20, 25 minutes per session. And again, you're not going to play it that often, but I think it was a very interesting experiment. I think it's very fun to hear and interact and participate. Then the other one, which I will look in here because I remembered it, Nakdoku, which is Sudoku, which is already a puzzle game.
Yes.
But it's Sudoku with a puzzle on top of it. And the puzzle is that the numbers are attached by strings and the strings can't intersect in any fashion. So I think when you start off, you get like one string and it's just like, okay, I put the one here, I put the seven here, I put the three here. Make sure they don't interact. That's fine. And as you go on, it introduces two strings and three strings. And then, you know, like one string might have two numbers, one string might have four numbers, one string might have like five numbers. And getting it to, you know, completing the Sudoku puzzle. So, you know, like every square has one to nine, every diagonal and every vertical has 1 to 9 as well. But also making sure that you get these strings in the right position without having them cross over. And that becomes a thing of like, oh, okay, so this is a 7. This has a 7, this has a 7. If I do this 7, that means that this 3 crosses over. It must be the other 7. But then where do I put that 1? Okay, that 1 goes here. So, and it's just like a meta Sudoku. And it's, again, very simple, a very, very short game. I love Sudoku. It was a nice way to evolve that formula, do something different with it. There is a story about some aliens that connected them and stuff like that, but I'm not really sure how that ties into the actual element of the game itself. But it, again, Maria X Sudoku was really fun in that regard. And I think this is something, I guess a little behind the scenes, I think, when, you know, we did the Game of the Year stuff, and one of the things I suggested for 2025 is games that you are surprised, and that they're not necessarily in your wheelhouse, and Sudoku is very much in my wheelhouse. I have an app on my phone. I play Sudoku on my commute to work. It's a very good way to kill 5-10 minutes on my commute. Dark Queen was just one of those games people were talking about. I'm like, oh, I'll check this out because, one, it's very short, but also it's very different. I don't think this is a game you can ever sell on a console because it's way too short. Even if with multiple endings, you're looking at maybe an hour, hour and a half at most. But, you know, I think Itch.io. Is I mostly know it as a tabletop RPG guy. So like a lot of bundles, I have a lot of like one shots or, you know, campaigns and stuff people create that are on my account. But like exploring the games and stuff like that, these are very, it's kind of like the modern new ground where like there's, you know, there's browser games, this game you can download, this game you can pay $2 for, this game you can pay $5 for. But a lot of it is very experimental. A lot of it is very simple. A lot of it is stuff that, again, you may see in consoles eventually, but you don't necessarily see all the time. And I think it was just a really nice way to do it. There's another game that I played, which I don't remember the name of, but it's essentially Minesweeper, which becomes a dungeon crawler roguelike.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, so you know, Minesweeper for you people who are, because I don't think Windows comes to the default anymore, and I'm saying, I think it's been like 15, 20 years since they've done that. But, you know, you go, you click on thing, and then it tells you, like, okay, there's certain, it tells you like a number, and that means like there's danger in this area, so you can kind of avoid. And this is the same thing where it's an RPG where you do battle with enemies, and, you know, you start off with like five hearts. You can attack an enemy that has five hearts, and you will defeat it. You can, you know, go back and get the XP that levels you up, and you can go, that gives you six hearts. You can do a three and a three. You get defeat those, you level up, et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know, you got it. Oh crap, I have like three hearts. Yeah. Do I do this and risk finding a seven heart and that automatically defeats you and stuff like that. Again, very, I think it's like Dragon Sweeper or something like that. Very simple, very cute. But again, you know, it's just something very novel. And that, I probably should not say this publicly. Not of it has been killing time at work. It's been a very dry week. But again, they're very, and then very different from all of that on the other end of the spectrum, an actual game. Because it's $2 in the eShop, and I've heard nothing but good things about it. Was Kaz and the Wild Mask, which is a modern retro platformer, which I hate the term, very influenced by Donkey Kong Country. At least that's what I was told. I started playing this game. I'm like, oh, you are not influenced by Donkey Kong Country. You are Donkey Kong Country without Nintendo's dressing. It's not Donkey Kong. Like, you don't roll and stuff. But it's very much designed like that. Like, I'm pretty sure they named the character Kaz, K-A-Z-E. Because it's four letters that you connect in the stage. You go into bonus rooms and you create a puzzle. You create a puzzle piece. Two puzzle pieces, for example, that unlock secret levels within each world. If you collect all of them in every world, you have, you have one-ups and you collect. You don't collect bananas. You collect gems, and you collect gems, and then you have one hit system. You can get a helper with a heart. And that helper, it's not like Diddy, where it's not other characters or something. It's essentially kind of a shield. But I was like, this is Donkey Kong. There are, and then the Wild Mask comes from, instead of get an animal companion, you put on a mask and you change into an animal. So you can change into like a bird, and you'll fly around and zap around at level, and you can shoot stuff. There's one where you turn into a, not a dolphin, but some type of fish. And then you can swim through the water, and then you can jump out and you can attack people. And I'm like, this is Rambi and this is the elephant. But you're doing enough to like get away with it. There's levels where you're just climbing up vines in the stage. I'm almost certain there's not a minecart, but there's something adjacent to a minecart. And As somebody who makes modern Donkey Kong Country, I don't care for the rare ones. It works, and it works really well. It's a great 2D platformer. Again, for $2, I can't complain. It's well worth the money. I think it's still on sale in the eShop, but it was so much like you wear your heart on your sleeve that you are Donkey Kong Country.
Looks neat. So you said $2 on eShop?
Yes, it was when I picked it up. I think this goes until early next week.
It's currently $15 on Steam. So if you want it, get it on Switch. go to the eShop. Looks neat. It looks like a little shark guy in the water, Earl.
Okay, that would make sense. But yeah, it's a clever modernization of it, but it's very much very much influenced by Donkey Kong Country.
Cool. Yeah, honestly, looking at it, I'd be like, oh, that's if I hadn't hadn't heard that it's kind of a newer game. I'm like, that looks like an old game I never heard of.
Yeah.
So, neat. We previously talked about the Sony State of Play. Was there anything that jumped out in that to you?
Well, the thing that most jumped out to me was I think Shinobi game looks amazing.
Yeah.
That looks fantastic. And then there was the Konami Octopus game that was interesting. I forget the name of that one. Oh, Darwin's Paradox?
Yes.
That they're great. And then some of the other... I will give Sony their flowers. I think they've gotten better at like doing these shows where I think for me, the cream of the crop was Nintendo. Nintendo's very much this formula where we have, we'll do like 20 announcements. We know what the major games are. We know what they're kind of like. We can just kind of sprinkle in. We'll have some of that, you know, like that humor Nintendo gets away with because it's like, yeah, it's Nintendo. They're kooky. They're weird. And then it was Microsoft, which Microsoft is very much like, we'll do 4 or 5 games, but we're really going to go in depth with them to make sure you understand what these games are. And that varies depending on the game. Sony's like, here's like 50,000 games. There will be no intermediary. We will just go, go, go. And I think this one was they took time to have people talk and actually discuss these games, which was great. My big problem, twofold, was there's a lot of times where there's really no transition. You get a game, somebody will talk about it, and it goes into another game. And like because there's like no like, and here's what's next or whatever, you would think like they talked about a game, even though they just talked about the game they just showed.
Yeah.
That it goes into a video, and you think, oh, this is a game that talk. No, this is a new game. But there was no break in between that. And then I think we just discussed on Discord after it finished. It just kind of ended. There was like a lot of these, like, and before you go, we have like one more thing to show you, or here's it. Nope, it was just like, okay, here's a recap. Not even like a, it was a recap, but it's very much, here's a roadmap of the rest of the year and early next year, and it's over. It was no grand kind of like build up to the end. It was just like, and we're done, and we're out of here.
Yeah, I think, Tony, you said it just went to black.
Yeah.
Yep. The end.
Yeah, it was a weird, weird choice. But other than that, I think they've come a long way. I think they're still behind Nintendo and Microsoft in that regard. But I think they did a good job. I think they, you know, they fleshed out the lineup for this year. I think it was Eurogamer who had an article today, which is very pressing, but and very, you know, very tongue in cheek, but I think they said right now there are more Microsoft first-party titles announced for PlayStation than there are PlayStation first-party titles announced for PlayStation for the rest of the year.
Oh, honestly, I didn't even kind of like think of that, but yeah, that may be true. Like, not much in the way of, especially from this showcase where there wasn't a lot of Sony stuff specifically.
Yes, and I mean, this is not a Sony thing. I understand it. But I really, really wish. I need these companies to just start being like, it's on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5, but it's also going to be on these other things too. Because, like, I think most of the games announced here, at bare minimum, are on PlayStation 5 and Xbox. Some of them are on PC and Switch as well. And then I hate, like, I'm watching this, and like, after that, I'm like, okay. Like, the Sonic Racing game. Like, I'm not surprised by that. But being like, okay, this is on everything. Shinobi's on everything. I think Darwin's Paradox is on a bunch of stuff. Metal Gear Solid Delta. We knew that it was on multiple platforms. But I think afterwards it came out, like, because I think the Sony one teased that there will be an Ape Escape stuff in there. And that's a very PlayStation exclusive franchise. So I think Microsoft has. Not Ape Escape. What is it? They teased something, though.
Bomberman for Xbox.
Yes, which also is very weird because that's not a I guess that's a Konami franchise.
Yeah, it's a Konami franchise.
So stuff like that. And this is just to do with PlayStation, and it's just to do with anybody. But it's just so weird with insiders, sneakers, because so much of this was, there's going to be so many Xbox games at the showcase. Bungie's going to announce the new Project Gummy Bears, and this is going to be on the Switch and the PlayStation 5. And you go, and it's like, none of these games are here. And again, not on Sony, not on anybody, but it's just weird that like these leakers are like talking about these games and like nothing shows up, and it's just like, I guess that's out there somewhere.
Yeah. So there was Sony and I mentioned this. There were rumors of new God of War, new rumors of Wolverine showing up. Ghost of Yotai, which is supposed to come out this year, did not show up at the thing. Also, I guess there were rumors that I didn't think they were going to show Forza Horizon 5 because they've already kind of announced that one.
Well, it wasn't like stuff like that or like Indiana Jones.
Yeah,
That they didn't show.
And I guess the rumor is that Halo is coming shortly. So people were kind of speculating on that. None of that stuff showed up, though.
None of that stuff showed up. And then, again, it was a good overall presentation. I don't want to be like a negative Nancy. And this is, again, kind of to do with Sony, but it kind of reminded me of the Summer Game Fest 2021, 2020. Like, all Summer Game Fest. But then we had, Capcom's like, here's Monster Hunter Wild, and here's Onimusha 2, and you just had a showcase last week where we just saw all this stuff. Yep. You don't necessarily need to see it again like a week later.
But yeah, nothing new from like we've kind of already seen these shows. Yeah.
Like, what new do you have? Like, again, this is just to do with Sony and more to do with like these companies. You didn't need to do a Capcom showcase if you're going to have all this stuff at the Sony thing anyhow.
Yeah, if you were going to showcase it with Sony, just let Sony showcase, or just do your own, which is also fine.
Which they did, but then you combined it. It's like, okay, we're doing this. Yeah, so again, not to do it, and it just reminded me of that summer showcase where it's like, we would get, everybody would have a press conference like, but you showed this game, or you showed that game already. What are you doing? Yeah. that was good. Again, it was a good 45 minutes, 47, I think 47 minutes, showcase. I mean, for my personal taste, I think the first half was stronger with like Shinobi, with Script Fiction and stuff like that. I think, what is it? Directive
80-20. Yeah.
80-20. Looks interesting. I did like that they had that horror-esque segment. But I think they need to, because like what they would do is like they'd have like that next banner, and I'm like, okay, but what is like, didn't need to work on the transitions, but overall a good show. I'd say like a B.
Yeah, that's fair. Some of it was so blitzy that it was hard to kind of like if I wasn't writing them down as I saw them, I definitely would have missed some.
Oh, I should stop
doing that. But yeah, it was a decent show. Lots of stuff coming this year to play. So I'm kind of, you know, even if it's not all on PlayStation, I think we're going to eat well as people who play games this year. So
yeah, so much better than last year.
Yeah, and we still have a major for console coming out this year at some point.
Yeah, that's what's crazy too, is like we haven't seen any of like the new stuff that Nintendo is going to bring, but we know all this other stuff that's coming, and it looks really good, like lots of really good and fun stuff.
Yeah.
But so that's the state of play. We'll be back next week with some Avowed. At the very least.
And
And what am I missing?
Well, there's only two Thursdays left in February, so at some point.
Oh, yes. We will be talking about Double Dragon. We can do that next week if, I mean, I just need to find 95 minutes to watch it. It is on Tubi. So, we might be talking Double Dragon, the movie, next week. We'll talk that one out amongst ourselves, though. But definitely Avowed. We will definitely have some Avowed. Tony's going to play it. I'm going to play it. Jeff's going to play it. Earl doesn't play those types of games, so
I think I would try it. Again, it's on Game Pass. Again, this is a year of trying different things.
Yeah, but
who has Indiana Jones on his hard drive eating up 100 plus gigs of space. And I love Indiana Jones.
So. Maybe you should start with that. Maybe that.
But I want to try that one before Avowed.
I should start with that.
Should you haven't? Did you play Outer Worlds? The Obsidian kind of.
I started it, and I think we had the discussion because it was the first kind of game of that I played.
Yeah,
and like, it's not skill based in the way I want games to be skill based, where it's like you can shoot somebody in the head, and it's like you had a 50% shot and then you missed, so it doesn't do any damage. It's weird. But yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought you had not played any, because you had not played Fallout, you have not played Skyrim.
But I did, yes.
So this is Avowed, and you're not much into fantasy either, right? Like,
yeah. It's one of those weird things about me as somebody who's extremely, it's beyond nerdy. Fantasy and sci-fi doesn't do much for me.
Yeah, it's fine. It's not for everybody.
Yeah, it's just like it feels like that's a big wrong for other people.
It is. I mean, it's, so much of gaming too is like tied to fantasy or sci-fi. I mean, BioWare, that is their, that's right. Like they're two big franchises, are fantasy and sci-fi.
They only have one of each.
Yeah.
I have played Mass Effect. I will give myself that much credit. So.
Okay.
Mass Effect also gives you pew-pew, so.
Yes, it's more of a shooter.
Not a great one either, but that's a different conversation.
At least once 2 rolled around, it got better at being the shooter. So so maybe Earl will try Avowed. Maybe I'll try Indiana Jones. We'll just have to find out next week.
He tries Indiana Jones. Does.
At least it's downloaded already, right?
It's downloaded already. I should at least fire it up.
Go play it right now. Right now.
I was gonna watch Cobra Kai after this, so
you know
Cobra Kai never dies except it ends now. So
Indiana Jones also never dies.
Crazy. Well, it's a long weekend, so maybe I'll do that on Monday or Sunday. Because that new Marvel movie seems to be getting very mixed reviews.
Yeah. Yeah, I was holding out hope that it was going to be a good one too. So, oh well. But we'll be back next week. Earl, say goodnight.
So long. We'll see you again in the promised land.
Thank you.